Welcome back to Match Volume. We're your hosts, Emma Dessau and Sarah Bringman.
We have three awesome guests on the show this week. They are co-founders and editors of the publication Gen Zine, Anushka Joshi, Eden Burkow, and Sam Gibbs. The three are Trojans in the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism, and they discuss what it's like to be responsible for an online and print publication dedicated to elevating issues and voices that matter to Generation Z.
And with that, let's jump in.
So to start, tell me who you are and what you do and what your roles at Gen Zine are.
Hi, my name is Anushka. I'm one of the co-founders and managing editor at Gen Zine. At Gen Zine, my role is to oversee a lot of the operations, partnerships, and content curation. But other than that, in my personal life, I'm a rising senior at USC. I study communication with a minor in media economics and entrepreneurship.
Hi, guys. My name is Sam. I am one of three co-founders at Gen Zine, and I'm also the story editor, which means that I'm responsible for editing the copy of stories and making sure that the writers really make their points succinct and that their vision comes to life on the page. And outside of Gen Zine, I'm also a rising senior at USC, also studying communication with a minor in music industry.
And hi, I'm Eden. I'm as well one of the co-founders of Gen Zine, and I'm our community editor. And in that, I am looking towards the community and everyone that falls into the Generation Z category, trying to find everyone in our generation that has a voice, that wants to speak out and wants to contribute to Gen Zine. I also have a major in communications. I'm also a rising senior, and I have a double minor in business law and consumer behavior.
Kind of start off, what is Gen Zine?
Gen Zine is our publication, which started off as a print publication our freshman year, and it's dedicated to addressing contemporary issues through the eyes of Generation Z. But since then, it's grown into an online community full of writers, thinkers, and artists who all come together to voice their concerns, and our goal is to cultivate a deeper understanding of contemporary issues and form responses against them. Part of our mission is to educate our readers on a variety of social issues and provide them with language and tools to take our critiques from text into action.
Tell me a little bit more about the background of Gen Zine. How was it created? How did it come to fruition?
So yeah, the three of us met in a class, an Annenberg class, called Designing Media for Social Change. And we were all freshmen, and our capstone project, we were asked to create our own piece of media to address the topic of gendered violence. So that resulted in the formation of Gen Zine. And from then, we created a physical copy, and we just loved the process of creating a zine that we love to hold this tangible piece of work and feel like we actually have made a difference. And since then, we've continued to create new zines and also have an online platform called The Gen for submissions for anyone to write and submit something.
Yeah, I just want to add on, like, I remember walking into this class being my first comm class at USC and instantly finding these two other freshman girls that would not stop participating as much as I was, constantly raising our hands, thinking of things to say, you know, providing insights. And this was an upper division class. So I just remember, you know, when we were asked to make a project, I couldn't think of two better women to do the project with me than Eden and Anushka. And we were all so alike, but different in ways that really made our zine special. I remember presenting the zine and people being really impressed by these three freshmen that just walked into this class and could make this amazing zine. Yeah, I just wanted to add that little part because I distinctly remember, you know, being in that class and meeting two like-minded individuals and just being so happy to start something with them.
I really feel the same way, and I really think we were the only freshmen in that class too, now that I think about it.
So this is a little off script, so take your time, but I think it's very clever and it speaks a little bit to the creativity behind the publication, but how did you come up with the name?
I think the first time, well, now you look around and it's Generation Z this, Generation Z that, but the first time that I was really exposed to the concept of Generation Z and the concept of rising youth power and the idea that we are the change makers of the future came from that class, Designing Media for Social Change. And as we were sitting there thinking about what we wanted our capstone projects to be, we learned about a zine in this class and how it was like a DIY rebellious magazine. And simultaneously, we were learning about the power of Gen Z and how we are the change makers for the future. And so it kind of became a play on words to create Gen Zine.
It's actually such a play on Gen Z that my brother wrote a report about Generation Z for school and referred to Generation Z as Gen Zine.
So weird, because I feel like everything that comes into my face these days is Gen Z, Gen Z, Gen Z. But like the first time I was introduced to Gen Z was like our freshman year. And it's so weird to think of a time where I wasn't aware of it, you know?
Yeah, it was really, I really think it was in that class, like the first 2 weeks. And that's why you saying that name was like, it worked so well. Because
yeah.
I remember too, not thinking about my generation at all.
It's funny you guys say that, because honestly, I didn't really think about generations until we were at USC, and it before it had just kind of been such a negative thing, but then professors made it something like, you guys are the ones to change the future. So totally. That's interesting. So you guys have been doing this for roughly 3 years now, right?
Two.
Okay. Yeah. So how has Gen Z changed since you started? How has it grown? What has the following been like? How's it changed?
So we initially started just with that first print issue. And after the class ended, we decided that we wanted to put out another one just because we were so passionate about it and we felt like there was more to say. And so we kept putting out print issues, but we just decided to create an Instagram so that more people could have access to it and more people could kind of see what we were doing. And also from that Instagram, we created like an online kind of blog community. So anyone could submit to us, anybody could write a story for us. And it would mean a lot to them because they had a platform where they could share their stories and their voice. And it was kind of also beyond USC, because originally, obviously, this started in a USC class. We've had USC events with our zine, but we wanted to kind of, you know, expand our reach and make it even, you know, I like to say, I want it to be global. So now that we have, you know, the Instagram and the Gen, you know, we're continually exploring more platforms for Gen Zine and the voices of Gen Zine. And so we're obviously, this is a podcast. It's something that we've been exploring on our own too. And we're kind of, you know, looking into making like a lifestyle and culture section on our website. And that would be featured on our Instagram, just constantly exploring more avenues where we can, you know, share as many voices and as many stories as we can.
Totally. And just to add on to that, part of our mission is to like provide the education and the tools and resources to enact change and to inspire change. And parallel to our election guidebook, which we have coming up, we've also begun to do some community organizing and trying to really engage our existing community with ways to get involved and be politically active.
And just to add one more thing, how the zine has changed is also that the new voices that we're covering are those of more activist high schoolers too, and those that are, it's crazy because we started this when we were like 18 freshmen in college, and now we are, you know, rising seniors in college who are 21 years old, and that's a huge jump in age, and that's also a huge jump in age for everyone else in our generation to become more aware. So we are really getting more sensible voices and more attuned voices to the environment around them.
So you guys are clearly passionate about it. I mean, it's a lot of work, so I don't think you'd continue doing it if you weren't passionate about it. So what have been your favorite stories to publish, or can you name one that has been like stuck out in your mind as something that you've really loved?
I absolutely love working on publishing the print zine still. While I love sharing more diverse perspectives and having a wider community, it's still such a fun experience for me and for the teams that work on the print zines, because just for a couple months at a time, we're so focused on researching and learning more about these specific topics. Like, I feel like I became a mini expert on sustainability recently this past spring, but more importantly, I remember our sophomore year, we published the multiculturalism issue. And for me, that was paired at a time where I was really navigating what it meant for me to have an Indian identity when I was not around my family and how that translated with me into my independent life. And so it was a time for me to personally explore that and turn that into work that I could share with everyone. And so that was super special to me.
I think for me, my favorite things, besides, you know, reading other people's stories that I don't know anything about and educating myself, are when I get to really write pieces that are kind of like more investigative and dramatic. Anushka wrote me a postcard actually that called me her little investigative journalist, which I think really fits. I like writing things and reading stories that are really like almost like an adventure novel and are suspenseful, and I like writing them as well. So I wrote a piece about recycling as a myth, and that was like, I mean, it's obviously not groundbreaking and it's not a breaking news story, but for me, I got to really investigate and look into things and see like corruption and other things that were being hidden from maybe people in our generation or people that didn't know better. And it's not just when I write it, but when I read stories that really dig into things like that and go beyond, you know, just the facts and are questioning and calling into question things that we consider normal or, you know, the norm, I really love stories like that. That thing that kind of bring up those taboos that, you know, we might not normally share or read about on normal mainstream news channels.
Yeah, to go off of Sam's point, my favorite ones that we've published are those that are taboo topics, the ones that we feel sometimes uncomfortable talking about, but then they're out there, then you read them, you don't really, they're kind of the ones you want to Google search and then like delete your search browser history on, or you feel sort of alone in, but someone deeply can relate to you. And I think those are the ones that really voice the fact that that we are all human, and that we are all a part of this growing generation where we're trying to find our identity. And it's great to find a piece of your identity with the help of someone else's words. So I think those that discuss taboo topics and don't make you feel alone are the ones that I'm most excited about receiving and publishing. One of my favorites is You Good Bro, which was written for our health and wellness issue that we published in fall. Wow, fall or winter, Anushka or Sam?
Fall.
Okay, so that we published fall 2019, that really just addressed men's mental health. I think that one to me is just incredibly important because USC was experiencing a lot of student mental health issues and scenarios that they didn't necessarily know how to, one, deal with, but two, they were resulting in, unfortunately, deaths. And I think that shed a light on not just like substance abuse, but just abuse of college culture. And so the fact that we had it written by a male who was in a fraternity who could speak on men's mental health and reminding other men that there is this thing of toxic masculinity and it forces them to have to act a certain way because they're scared of covering up how they really feel is one article we've published that is really important to me. And I think it has been a great outlet for so many. And then another one I think about is Fuck Your Food Rules, which is about battling an eating disorder. And I know that it resonates with so many readers and so many people feel a certain connection to those words and don't feel alone when reading them. However, those that have one know that it's hard to search about it or talk about it. And so to stumble upon your feed and know that someone and since Gen Z has really been marketed towards a lot of students at USC, to know that someone in your circles and your peers is struggling with one that you wouldn't have known about comes across not just shocking, but it's this beautiful amount of vulnerability and you find a lot of confidence within yourself to then speak about your own issues when someone you know who's been closed off becomes vulnerable to speak about something so important to them. So those are two that come to mind. We also wrote one about sleeping with the patriarchy. And I think that one really just is so candid and really addresses the fact that we as women, as young girls, it's embedded into our foundation to like think about men and boys in such a certain way that they that the way that they treat us is the way that we should treat ourselves and have our self identities formulate from. So that one is just one published op-ed that really is from a taboo topic that a lot of young women talk about candidly all the time, but to have it formulated in words gives a lot of outlet and agency to not just young women who read it, but to the male audience that wants to gaze and get a little glimpse of to how we really feel.
100%. I agree with that. And my favorite thing is when we do post a taboo story, like about men's mental health, about the effects of binge drinking, about eating disorders, about this female sexual liberation, and these are the stories that tend to circulate a little bit wider, like that is just validation that we're all feeling this way and that we all want to have these conversations, and it's kind of our way of using our words as a defense mechanism and as a weapon to say, like, hey, this is how we feel and I know I'm not alone.
And when we receive positive feedback on those taboo topics that are then talked about and published, it makes us feel good that we are able to offer a platform for someone to write about that subject matter, but also to get a response from someone in the community that really felt it in a way that they hadn't thought about it before.
Those are great examples. Thanks, guys. So what are some stories you hope to publish more of?
Just going off of what we were just talking about, I want to continue to publish stories that people really feel seen by and that people also feel motivated to publish, and issues that people are passionate about. We get most of our stories on a submission basis, and obviously when there's current events happening, we seek out stories and writers to speak to the times. But my favorite part is just seeing what people care about, because that goes so much further, as well as going into some maybe more rogue informative topics that are beneath the surface that we're not super aware about, but also these juicy taboo topics that happen in our day-to-day lives that we don't talk enough about. Like, we're young and we should be having these conversations. We should be telling the truth and owning our existences.
I think I love everything Anushka just said, but for me personally, like, you know, I study music industry, and something we've discussed is like expanding and making a lifestyle and culture section. So going off of that, like, I would love, you know, when we do decide to launch that, whenever that is, I would love, you know, hearing about like different album reviews or things and connecting that back to current events or connecting that back to like more cultural relevance. So if someone listens to an album and it makes them think about something or makes them realize something, or listens to an album that's, you know, really culturally relevant, like there have been so many artists over the past few months and weeks that have released music directly because of, you know, the protests and Black Lives Matter movements, and just rippling through the music industry is this movement to, you know, express yourself through music. And so like Beyonce put out a single, whatever. So you guys know, I mean, everyone listens to music, but I would love to bring that into Gen Z. And there have been so many people in my like music industry network circles that have reached out to me and been like, I want to write for Gen Z, but I don't know what to write about. Like, I'm not as like super, you know, socially active as you, politically active. And I was like, well, why don't you review an album and, you know, review it in a little political way. Like, if you want to like listen to John Legend's album and you see that there are politics in there, you see there are issues with it or this and that, write about it. And so I would love to kind of do that and see that coming from our audience more. And I know like music is universal, but yeah, I would just love to see that and more of like a bring in more of like a cultural side to things.
For me, since I'm focusing a lot on the community, I am really taking into account who also represents Generation Z. So the type of stories I would like Gen Z to receive are those written by today's middle schoolers, even if possible, but definitely those of the high schoolers, those that are now going to stay at home during the coronavirus pandemic and experience what it's like to have their social fundamental foundation socialization, I know I said that, of high school be you know, remote, and it goes the same from, you know, the college landscape. How are we all going to go through this? And then it also goes for all those, you know, early 20-year-olds that are out of college and in the working world. These are the stories that are really, anything that they have to say are stories that are really important for all of us to examine, talk about, and hear from, because while they don't hold relevancy to all of us because we're of different ages, we're all a part of the exact same demographic and the exact same generation. And so I would like any story to come from any of these voices that fall in our generation.
Why do you think it's important for younger generations to have publications where they can share their voices? And what do you think the impact for young readers is?
The reason I was so drawn to Annenberg in the first place when I was in high school is simply because of the Annenberg Inclusion Initiative, which at the time was called the Media Diversity and Social Change Initiative. I grew up acknowledging the fact that the media we consume has such an impact on our young minds. Our brains are always absorbing new information, always. Our approach to the world is just so shaped by the information we receive. And I would stare at magazines like Vogue and Glamour and 17, and Teen Vogue wasn't as woke back then, but the stories that were reading kind of shaped the way that we approach the world and approach ourselves. And I think a lot of people have come of age with a more critical mind, but it's kind of fueling that at a younger age. And I don't want to start them too young, because there is some bliss in not knowing every single problem in the world. But I do think that it's incredibly important that everyone carries themselves through the world with a critical mind, because we need that in the 21st century. And I know not everyone's going to go become a politician, an organizer, an activist, but the least we can do is carry ourselves with compassion and curiosity.
What is one lesson you have learned from working on this project?
I think one lesson I've learned is the outlet of writing has inspired so many to feel so good within themselves and has supported them in receiving an outpour of support from the Gen Z community, from friends they didn't know would reach out to them, from anonymous voices they've never even heard from. I think that there is such a beautiful symbiotic relationship that comes from those that write and those that read, and it's a relationship that I didn't realize the power of the word, but now that I have a platform where I'm giving people to be not just, and I don't mean they need to be impeccable with their word, but a place to just give their word and feel good with their word and publish their word, it feels great to know that we have created a platform for people to feel supported, because I feel so supported by having and offering this platform.
I think my answer to this is two parts. On the outward facing side, it's been super inspiring and empowering to be reminded that everyone has something to say. And opening the doors for a lot of different people to become writers has been something that is important to me, because as a writer myself, as a communication major, I understand the significance of being able to express how you're feeling, how the people around you are feeling. But a lot of people have been intimidated by it. But since it's just such an accessible college publication and platform run by friends, it's opened up a lot of doors for a lot of people. And inward facing internally, I've got to say that teamwork makes the dream work. I think working with Eden and Sam has been the experience of a lifetime. And it's taught me so much at such a young age about how to work with others, how to, for us to expand and work with other writers and artists and creators and partners. And so there's been a lot of valuable experience in that as well. More than I think I can even tell you.
Yeah, and like I think one of the main things that I've learned about myself from this is that I can start something on my own. Obviously, I'm not alone. I have Eden and Anushka with me, but you know, we started this as three 18-year-olds, and now we're all almost 21, and it's become something even greater beyond than we could have imagined sitting in that class 3 or 4 years ago, however long I lost track of time, honestly. But I, you know, like knowing that I can do something like this, and anyone can really do something like this with the right people and the right time and the right passion. And I think also, like, something else I've learned is that writing is so powerful. Like, I love writing. That's why I'm the story editor. I love writing. Writing is something I've always loved, but it doesn't just have to be, you know, like you write a short story in your diary about the boy you met in class yesterday. You can write things to enact change, and you can write things that make people think and make people want to enact change. And that's what's been amazing about Gen Zine, is I feel like, even though, you know, it's not like the zine will go out and protest, you can bring it if you want, but I don't really know what that would accomplish. Those words can push people to do things. And that's something I never really saw before coming to college, is that words can really, you know, push people to enact change and, you know, in their own lives and beyond.
So what do you hope people learn from reading Gen Zine? Or what do you hope Gen Zine's impact to be?
I want Gen Zine to continue to inspire and give agency to anybody that reads and writes. And in terms of what it's physically able to do, I wanted to physically give someone the courage to get out there and do something, whatever it might look like and whatever that might mean to them. I wanted to give them the courage to speak their truth or to act on their truth. And they can do that through reading someone else's words, or they can do that through writing their own. But I really hope that Gen Zine continues to give many more courage, because it's done that for me, and I know it's done that for a lot of those that have written for us.
I hope that the impact that we leave on people is that they go out and educate themselves more, just from whatever they read, because our articles, what the people write about, it's just scratching the surface of what you can really learn about. And the things that I think I've, you know, done from after being a part of this is that I've just gone out and read so much more and done more exploring on different topics. And so I just want people to, I said this before, I want people to know that being educated is being cool, and being educated is being empowered. And that's what I want them to take away, honestly, just from us. But we also share so many other people's platforms and stories that I want other people to just connect with one another. And, you know, besides the fact that they can reply to our posts and comment, I want people to reach out to those who wrote it if they're not anonymous, and just be like, I resonate with you, I hear you, and I connect with you, and just inspiring more connections and fostering more connections within our community and the community beyond us.
Absolutely. And just tying it back to the roots of what Gen Zine is, it's dedicated to addressing contemporary issues through the eyes of Generation Z. It's about us. It's about this generation where we're the promised change makers. We're the ones who everyone's betting on to make the world a better place. And I think sometimes as we age, only 21, but have already been seeing this, it's easy to put yourself above the greater good, and it's easier that way, and it's more comfortable. But at this age, for us and for those who are younger and for those who are older, I want to keep putting out content that inspires people to, like Sam said, connect with others and to approach the world with a deeper curiosity and connect and engage with one another with deeper compassion and compassion and empathy for those around you who you wouldn't have related to before. And always doing this through creativity and art and words. And it's all a really, really special, encompassing place for humanity in the future, in my opinion. And I want to keep that going.
Do you guys see this continuing down the road? Like, is this a project you want to continue post even university? Like, is it, or you haven't even thought that far? Like, how are you feeling about it?
I definitely want to in some capacity. Every day is so different in this climate. But who knows what the future holds, but there are no rules to life anymore.
Yeah. There are certainly no rules. There's no right and wrong, and everything that's going on right now is a new challenge every single day because there's so much uncertainty. And as time goes on, I just hope that we can continue to build this into a lot of different communities and a lot of different age demographics all around the world.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. Where can people find this publication?
So the first place they can find us is at the Gen Zine on Instagram, but they can also go to our website, gen-zine.com, and they can submit stories that way, read our other past stories, and hopefully soon they can find us as a podcast somewhere. But if not, they can find us on this podcast right now.
That was Sarah Bregman with Anushka Joshi, Eden Burkow, and Sam Gibbs. As always, Match Volume is a production from USC Annenberg Media from the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism. Make sure to check out the other episodes of Match Volume on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at Match Volume Podcast on Instagram.
I'm Sarah Bregman.
I'm Emma Dessau.
See you next week.